From the caves at Lascaux to the Ten Commandments to homeroom in sixth grade, notes have played an important role in man's history. This is the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaux and Bruce Elcourt.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 149 of the Taking Notes Podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaux.
Open social was the topic of today's podcast with two people, right, Julian?
That's correct, Bruce. It was Ryan Baxter from IBM and Mikkel Heisterberg from IntraVision. And, you know, in the last podcast, we talked at a really kind of high level about open social, just sort of what it means in business and why businesses might want this social stuff. And this podcast was more of kind of a nuts and bolts of what that actually means. Especially if you're an application developer, I think you're going to appreciate this, because we talked to Ryan and Mikkel about the APIs and the technology behind this social networkization, I guess, of applications.
Yep.
And what else, Bruce?
That's it. And I think you have a little disclaimer there, and that is this is a very developer-centric podcast, so just be warned, it gets developer-y, right, Julian?
A little bit, yeah. And I think that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone can't listen to it, but that you will probably appreciate it more if you have a developer kind of background like maybe me.
All right, let's roll.
Today on the podcast, we have two people we're going to talk to about open social. One is Ryan Baxter, software engineer at IBM. Hello, Ryan.
How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you for being on the show. And also Mikkel Heisterberg, who I think you've been on the show before, haven't you?
Sure, I've been on one time, I think twice maybe, but I'm happy to be on again.
Yeah, great. And he is a, or you are, I guess, I should speak directly to you, Mikkel, that you are a senior solution architect at IntraVision. So
I sure am, and one of the architects between the on-time suite, so calendaring, scheduling, that's all me.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, and if anyone doesn't know who you are, then just look up maybe Java plugins on Google, and you'll probably end up on Mikkel's blog. So we are talking about open social. And Ryan, I think I'll let you lead off with what is open social for those who don't know.
Sure. So open social is actually just a collection of specifications. It's fairly simple. It's just a bunch of documents. And those documents actually have just a bunch of APIs in them. And the APIs basically define what you can use inside your open social gadgets. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Open social was started by Google a while ago, and they contributed this specification as well as an implementation back to the community, back to the open source community. And really, the purpose of open social is it's a lightweight application framework. So you can build very lightweight web apps using JavaScript, HTML, and CSS. And you just kind of write your JavaScript, HTML, and CSS in an XML file, and that's pretty much what an open social gadget is. And the specification just says what APIs you can use inside that gadget, and away you go. You're up and running.
Okay. Now, in terms of sort of where it grew out of, one of the rumors that I've always heard is that open social was sort of an open source reaction to Facebook, and kind of a way of building an API that would act Facebook-like in terms of dealing with maybe person-centric kind of data. Is that a fair way to describe it, or if not, then what is a better way to do it?
Yeah, so I guess I'll give you kind of my understanding of the history, and this, again, this is my understanding, and it may not be completely accurate, but I'll give it my best shot. So you're right as far as I understand. I think it was Google's reaction to Facebook. I think Google saw Facebook growing and this really popular social networking site, and obviously Google wanted to compete with them, And they had a social networking site called Orchid at the time. And I think they realized that they could not actually compete with Facebook from a user perspective, right? I mean, Facebook was gaining users, and Google, you know, just couldn't compete with that. And I think Google saw the differentiator between the different social networks is really the applications that these networks run. So, I mean, every social network allows you to, you know, talk with your friends or view their pictures and whatnot, and that gets kind of boring after a while. But once you start introducing applications into these social networks, it kind of distinguishes things. So Google said, you know, well, we may not be able to compete with them by ourselves, you know, with our own social network, but if we open source this application platform that we've come up with and get other social networks that are out there on board, well, then we may be able to compete with them, right? We have then the app developers may take a look at Open Social and say, well, I can build this app and it'll target, you know, Google's network and MySpace and whatever other social network platform which supported Open Social, and kind of attract more application developers to the platform that way. And then, therefore, because the apps are so much better and you may have such a great, a better choice in applications by going to these open social networks, you know, they may attract more users in the end. So it kind of grew out of that, I think. And unfortunately, I don't think they ever succeeded in that. I mean, so MySpace jumped on board, which is probably the most well-known other social network besides Facebook, but we all know how that turned out, right? So, so Facebook ended up kind of winning in the end anyways, but luckily a lot of enterprises started to look at Open Social and see what they can do with it from there. So really, Open Social has kind of started, in my opinion, started to move away from the consumer social networks and started to move into the enterprise space, and obviously that's where IBM got involved and has been involved in other companies such as Jive and Atlassian and SAP and Cisco and whatnot have also been involved in the specification. So that's kind of where it grew from.
And, you know, you personally are very involved with it because you're a committer on the project, not only for Open Social, but also you mentioned just before the podcast on Shindig. So yes. Why don't you tell us what you do on both of those projects?
Yep. So on the Open Social, well, so to make the connection between Open Social and what Apache Shindig is basically, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Open Social is just a collection of documents, right? And they're just APIs. There's no actually code or implementation behind the Open Social specification. It's just a document. When Google contributed the specification out, they also contributed their implementation of the specification, and they made that an Apache project called Apache Shindig. So the implementation is actually contained in a separate project under the Apache Foundation. So my role as a committer in the Open Social spec is, you know, I kind of foster different ideas that the community comes up with. And really, you know, we all have the different people who participate in the community. We usually have a weekly call. We talk about different either issues that are coming up or different proposals that are out there. There's a few active ones right now and whatnot. And we try to bounce ideas off of each other and whatnot and kind of mold the proposal into something that's going to work for the specification as a whole. And then obviously because I'm a committer, I'm able to actually commit those changes back to the spec after the proposal has been finalized and whatnot. From an Apache Shindig point of view, I kind of do the same thing, except it's with code instead of a specification. You know, and especially from an IBM point of view, as we're implementing Open Social throughout some of our products, we find things that may be bugs or we may want to do differently or change things. So, you know, my job there is basically, you know, writing up those changes and contributing the code back to the community and you know, making sure it gets reviewed properly and gets contributed back to the Apache project for everyone else as well.
And I think that's one of the examples of what Ryan and IBM is doing is, for instance, the embedded experiences, right? That's some of the work that IBM and Ryan are actively working on getting into the specification, right? So it's it's a core specification instead of just being something that IBM grafts on to Open Social, right? So they want to make it standard, the model making standard compliant, and that's some of the stuff that Sorine is doing.
Yep, and I mean we're really harping on that standards point of view. You know, we don't want to be breaking the standard or have things that only work in our products. We want to be compliant with the standard. We want our application developers to be able to build open social gadgets that work across the board, you know, inside the portfolio and outside. So it makes it, you know, it has a huge benefit. And that's one of the huge benefits that IBM saw in open social, is that because it's a standard, you know, you can build your application once and it will run not only across, you know, our products, but, you know, outside our portfolio as well, if you choose to have it run there as well. So, you know, that's one of the major benefits.
Ryan, you mentioned, and actually Mikkel mentioned, embedded experience. I think we jumped a little forward here. Can we rewind a little bit and explain to the listeners how and in which products we're going to see these open social things surface themselves and how they will surface themselves?
Sure. So embedded experience is just one type of open social gadget, and Mikkel built a really good one that he demoed at Lotusphere. But so open social gadgets are, you know, like I said, they're applications, right? And they can run in any container, you know, anywhere that container will let them run. And a container just is an open social term. Basically means an application, the application at which the gadget is running in. From an IBM perspective, that's going to include Notes and Domino Social Edition. So that's our next feature release of Notes and Domino, and that will include Notes and iNotes. So Notes and iNotes will be open social containers capable of running open social gadgets. And in Notes and iNotes, those gadgets can be surfaced in the familiar places, right, in the sidebar. In new tabs, in new windows, so you can, and we're leveraging a lot of the existing widgets framework that people are familiar with in Notes. We're bringing that to iNotes as well, so you can wrap an open social gadget in a widget, install it, and deploy it, and then open it in the sidebar or in a new window or in a new tab. In addition to that, they'll also be able to run inside of emails. So that's what Mikkel was referring to as embedded experiences. So embedded experience can run inside an email as well as an activity stream. And in the email point of view, you know, your application sends an embedded experience email, which will have a URL in it that points to the open social gadget you want to use as your embedded experience. And then Notes and iNotes will actually render that gadget as the email. Instead of rendering the normal email content, it will render the embedded experience gadget in either a new tab or in the preview pane. The other application that will be supporting open social will be connections. And where we'll be surfacing gadgets and connections is still being debated in connections next. So we're still debating that, but for sure we'll be supporting them on the homepage with the activity stream, so you can support embedded experiences. Beyond that, you know, that's still under discussion. It's things we're still talking through.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that took me a while to wrap my head around is that when Ryan talked about the gadgets and the applications, it's just JavaScript. It's just a rectangular area on the screen that you control, given some kind of context, whether that be the context of, say, an email or an activity stream or whatever. Right? It's just an area on the screen. It's not a window by itself. It's not something that has its own life cycle and stuff. It's just some area on the screen you control, and that actually took me a while to get my head around, because it sounds very advanced and complex, but once you get into it, it's actually extremely easy, because you only deal with a very focused area that you're working on, right? And I think if people take one thing away from this podcast, is that the skills you have you can use now, and it's actually way easier than doing what you're doing now, because now you're doing the entire application, right? But in Open Social and with the gadgets, it's much more focused and much more aligned with one particular task instead of being all encompassing.
Yeah, and I think Mikhail, you definitely, you know, hit on a good point there, is that, you know, people who are familiar with, you know, web development, such as, you know, JavaScript and CSS and HTML, you know, the same technologies that you use for XPage development, for example, you know, you jump right into Open Social Gadgets and, you know, you're ready to go. You don't need to learn anything new. And I think that was kind of the problem, you know, with the plugin development model, where, you know, you had to know Java, but in addition to that, you kind of need to know how a plugin works and all these other plugin ASCII things and whatnot, right? And it's kind of hard to have someone kind of reteach themselves or relearn those things and kind of pick that up, and it makes it challenging. But with this, there's a low barrier of adoption, and you can just jump right in and start going. I think the one part I disagree with what you said, Mikhail, is that it doesn't necessarily, the application, an Open Social Gadget doesn't necessarily need to be focused on one task, right? It could be a full-fledged application. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You have full control. You can use any JavaScript library, Dojo, jQuery, whatever you want inside the gadget. You can make it a full-fledged application if you want, or you can make it as focused as you want too.
Sure, I just meant from the outset, right? So you might start up it being sure. And a bit experienced. There's no reason why you can't branch out from there and do it as advanced. That's what you like, but it's not something the user necessarily double clicks, opens, and you control the entire lifecycle of that application. The user opens something or does a particular task, and then something happens, and that something is then written to the Open Social specification.
Right.
Okay, so stupid developer question then. Why would I use the whole container gadget concept to expose this data rather than just, say, sticking an iframe on my page?
I think, from my point of view, and maybe Mikhail can comment more from his point of view, but, you know, something we haven't talked about necessarily is kind of the social APIs that are provided out of the box with Open Social. So, you know, the reason why it's called, you know, social is in the name of Open Social is because built into the specification are social APIs, and that gives you, these APIs give you the ability to get the current user's friends or post something to the activity stream or get the entire activity stream or, you know, send messages to different users. And these APIs are built in the specification, and you don't necessarily, you as the application developer don't need to worry about, you know, where that data is coming from. You don't need to worry about authentication or anything like that. You just call the API and you get back this data. And the data that you get back is defined in the specification, and it will be the same no matter where your gadget runs. I think that's one huge advantage that you have over just sticking something in an iframe. You kind of get some stuff out of the box with Open Social that you wouldn't get, that you would have to kind of roll your own if you were writing your own application.
Yeah, and coming from one who's actually done a lot of widgets for connections, like if you do widgets for connections now, there's no support in the widget specification for connections as it is now today to actually interact with the container. There's no easy way to find out who are my network contacts, how are we related, and stuff like that. You have to go and do it yourself, right? You have to get the feed, pass the feed, all that stuff. In Open Social, it's just one call, and then you just get an array of your network contacts. And I think another thing that Ryan should maybe go into more detail about is the social spec, because it doesn't really. So I think it's a very important point that your friends, as Ryan said, could be whatever the container deems to be your friends, right? So the container in Node, if you have connections, could be your contacts from connections, but they could as well be your contacts from LinkedIn or SAP or whatever the container term says is your friend in a given application or gadget as they relate right now, right? And that could actually change over time. But the gadget doesn't change because the gadget just requests, who are my friends? Right. And that's why the term friends is a bit unbusinesslike. It's not a very businesslike term, but the term friends in OpenSocial would relate to who you are connected to in that particular container at that point in time.
Right. And like Mikkel said, that's kind of the basis of the gadget being portable, right? It doesn't make a difference that if I took my gadget that was running in Notes and then I ran it in Jive, for example, you know, you don't have to change anything. You'll get a different set of information back when you say, who are my friends or what is my, you know, what are the entries in my activity stream? But because everything's standardized and what the data looks like when it comes back from the API call is all standardized, it makes everything portable and you know, you don't have to roll your own like Mikkel said.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing too is that a gadget is really just a big hunk of XML that kind of describes something about the data that you're getting and what should be done with it. But the container really controls the way it looks, right?
You have control of what the gadget looks like. I mean, you can style it however you want with CSS. It controls mm-hmm. kind of where the gadget is going to be rendered and maybe the Chrome outside of the gadget. But everything inside the gadget and what you have complete control over that. You can style it however you want and what it looks like.
So I could use XPages to generate OpenSocial gadgets, right?
You can, yes. That's one technique. And I think Dinkless had posted something a while back on his blog about doing something like that. But yes, and we're working internally. You know, I've had many conversations with Phil Riand about this and how to make surfacing. And I kind of brought this up at my session at Lotusphere as well. You know, how to make surfacing an X page inside an OpenSocial gadget a lot easier, right? Because today it's kind of funky. There's some things we need to work around, definitely, and that's something we're definitely addressing over the next few months. But yeah, you can definitely use XPages inside of gadgets.
So how does somebody in the ICS community start to get to know OpenSocial gadgets, you know, better, including maybe some of the work that, you know, Nicholas posted on OpenNTF?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the first things, you know, I always suggest people do is just go to the spec and read the spec, right? There's a lot of useful information in there, and just being familiar with the APIs that you have at your disposal is really important. Beyond that, there's definitely out on the OpenSocial Wiki on docs.opensocial.org, there's several tutorials, and, you know, even though some of them may be referencing older versions of the spec, it's still good to kind of look at those tutorials and get an understanding of what a gadget looks like and kind of what are the different pieces of a gadget. I've written a tutorial out there if you're specifically interested in embedded experiences, a tutorial that goes through step-by-step building your own embedded experiences gadget. But another good point of reference is actually the OpenSocial Sandbox. And this was mentioned at the OGS this year at Lotusphere as well. But there's an OpenSocial Sandbox out there, which is kind of a sample collaboration application where you as a developer can go, and if you start building your gadget and you want to see how it runs inside of a sample container, you can go out there, you know, point to your gadget URL, render your gadget, and test it out. So a lot of the APIs that we've added to OpenSocial 2.0 are available there for your use, and you can kind of get an idea for how a gadget works and just kind of play around in the sandbox, right?
Yeah, Ryan, Microsoft promised along many decades ago at this point, right, things like OLE, right, to be able to use an application in context with inside of another application. And, you know, for the most part, that really kind of never worked too well, at least mm-hmm. in my experiences with it. For those people who are not really familiar or can't really wrap their head around, you know, OpenSocial with the embedded experience yet, wouldn't you say that this is kind of like the OLE done right kind of for the web?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so far, you know, with the six partners that we worked with that participated in the social app throwdown, I think they all were convinced that this is kind of a very good way to do that, exactly what you're talking about. You want to embed the experience. You know, this is where the term embedded experience comes from. You want to embed the experience of one application in a different application. And it really works out well, especially once you start considering, you know, with the security that's built into to the implementation of OpenSocial in Notes and iNotes and Connections. You know, everything is going to run secure. Only, you know, you're only going to get this application running in there if it's trusted and the administrator has deemed it okay. Because if you think about it, you're really running active content in an email. And today we don't do that. You don't let that happen. You can't run JavaScript in your MIME emails at all because, there's valid concerns about security there. The security model is not necessarily built into the spec, but it's built into the implementation of OpenSocial in the different containers, right? In our case, in the Notes and iNotes Social Edition case, you know, that security is, you know, backed by the Domino security that we're all familiar with, and with, you know, signing and trusting things and pushing things down by policies and whatnot. I think it's kind of, you know, what you're talking about. You know, it's done right for the web.
Yeah, and I think if I can add one thing to what Ryan said about going to the sandbox and going to read the spec, I think Ryan is very spec-driven because, of course, he is part of doing the spec. But I would definitely recommend, so if you want to see what all the fuss is about, I think the best thing you can do is actually go and look at the show and tell that Brian did with Stanton at Lotusphere, right? So show and tell 115, I think, was an excellent example of how you take an XPage application that sends out notification that's just one-liners, right? It's just one-line piece of text and maybe a link. So take that application within an hour, maybe 40 minutes, and transform that to a complete open social application with rich social notifications. You can act upon these notifications right within your inbox, right? So if you grab that presentation, look through it, and I've been bashing Ryan to do that as a webcast because I think it's the best example that I've seen to date of why you would want to start to do this, right? And you have more than ample time, right? You have all the time in the world now to go ahead and start to build out your application, make sure they are API driven, and you can leverage the APIs for different places, right? But go and look at the show and tell, and see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, and I think Mikkel, to your point, you know, we're working on the getting it recorded and hopefully getting it posted somewhere. We definitely want to do that, but. It's been a busy week post Lotusphere, so I haven't gotten that lined up yet. But definitely have many requests to get that done, and I plan on getting it done and posting it on YouTube. But the one other thing I just wanted to throw out there is that we have had a lot of success with people who, you know, even if you're just experimenting or you're kind of thinking, you know, down the line, you know, when Notes and Domino Social Edition is released, or you know, when Connections Next is released, I want to be, you know, ready for this stuff. And you can start experimenting with your applications and building these application open social gadgets. We've had a lot of success, and partly due because this is a standard, that if you build an application that runs in this open social sandbox, it also runs inside of Notes and iNotes as well as Connections Next, you know. So it's the beauty of the standard, right? You can build it somewhere else and automatically when we do release the stuff, you know, you're ready to go. You have something built and ready to start shipping with.
And also, just to let the listeners know, we will have in the show notes a link to Ryan's blog entry from this week where it has the, I guess, did you put them on SlideShare? Is that where your slides are?
Yeah, I put the slides up on SlideShare. So the slides on SlideShare actually have the code snippets from the show and tell in the slides, but... Mm-hmm. Me as a developer, I find that kind of hokey because who wants to do that? So there's a link in my blog that to download the zip that has the presentation as well as all the code snippets and separate text files and whatnot. So you can copy and paste out of that into Designer or whatever. I guess if you're following the tutorial, you'd be working in Designer.
Oh, good. Okay. And so, yeah, we'll have a link for that in the show notes. So you won't have to look too far.
And if I can add one thing to that.
Sure.
Sorry, Julian.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the social app throwdown, so for those of you that don't know, at Lotusphere, I think 4 or 6 weeks before Lotusphere, IBM contacted 6 partners where I was one of them, where Intuition was one of
one of those partners. They gave us access to the iNode social edition and connections social edition, or connections next, I think we should call it. And they gave and each of us had four weeks to actually bring our custom applications within these to these various platforms, right? So to iNodes or to connections, and I think that session was recorded as well. And at some point, that will be available on the Lotusphere video site as well. I think that too is a good place to go and see the capabilities and what's possible within four weeks. And I think people will probably say that 4 weeks is a lot of time, but I think for each of the partners that I talked to, I think. I don't think that any of us actually used more than a few days to actually take our solutions from completely different environments and bring them into the social container, because all the groundwork was there, the APIs was there, right? So I think once the video is out, I think it's a good place to go and look as well to see the various implementations and how you take anything from project management to on time to social analytics to application building and bring that within the various containers. And I think that too will be quite convincing for people to see. So once the video is out, I think people should definitely take a look.
Yeah. And actually, Trilog had posted their own separate. They re-recorded their demo. John Tripp did from Trilog, and it's posted out on YouTube. I tweeted about it last night, so you can kind of get a sneak preview of one of the business partners that participated and what they did there.
Well, and that kind of leads us into the next question too about what IBM needs from the business partners, especially between now and when Notes Domino's Social Edition comes out. I mean, is there something that IBM is looking for from the developer community in terms of helping out or testing or running this thing through its paces or something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a number of things, at least, you know from my point of view. You know, once we do have a public beta that's available to everyone, the ICS community is not shy about doing this, but, you know, we want feedback. You know, if you think something's too difficult or you think something's hard or you don't understand this, you know, it's just not designed the right way. You know, the most important thing for me is to hear what you guys have to say. You know, you guys are the ones that are going to be building on top of this stuff and you're the ones that are going to be using it. So, you know, if you think something's bad, maybe internally it makes sense to us or internally it works well for us, but out in the real world, you know, out in actual deployments, you see problems. You know, I just anything, you know, any kind of feedback you can give, whether it be as, you know, as low level as APIs or, you know, how it looks when it's rendered or, you know, how it works from an end user's point of view or how it works from an administrator point of view. All those things are very important because this is kind of, you know, it's new to us as well, right? You know, this is the first time IBM's kind of relatively new. It's one of the first times we're actually going to be using open social like this. So, you know, we need your feedback as well.
Ryan, what other companies are involved with the open social standard?
So the other companies that are heavily involved are Jive for sure, and Google. Atlassian, SAP, and Cisco are somewhat involved. There's probably more that I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but those are kind of the main companies. And there's also people, we have some people who are involved that are, you know, not affiliated with the company at all. They whether they just be graduate students doing a thesis on open social or something related to that, or other people. There's actually another project called Apache Rave that is that builds on top of Open Social and Apache Shindig. So there's people inside that community who are involved in the specification as well as Apache Shindig. So there's a wide range of people that are involved. And I encourage everyone, if you really want to get involved and you really want to help us out, because it's an open specification and IBM is participating, you know, if you guys, you know, want to go out there and look at the specification or look at some of the proposals that are out there, you can really influence what's going to make it in and what's not going to make it in, right? We're open, it's completely open. You can go out there and look and see what the proposals are and join the Google group and see, you know, discussions that are happening inside the community And, you know, you guys have a chance to influence what goes into the specification as well. But those are the main players, yeah.
So, Ryan, we're hearing a lot about, you know, Notes Domino 8.54, and we're also hearing about Notes Domino Social Edition. Is this 8.54? Is this 8.54 and something else? Can you help clarify that?
Notes and Domino Social Edition is features that get added on top of Notes and Domino 8.54. So, you know, people who want a really stable maintenance release will, you know, get Notes and Domino 8.54 like they have in the past with 8.53 and 8.52 and whatnot. But if you want these extra features, you know, that such as Open Social, then you would have this extra add-on installer that installs the social edition features on top of 8.54. So you get this nice stable 8.54 base, and then there's extra features that get installed on top of the 8.54 Notes and Domino to add this open social capability, for example.
So, Mikkel, what would be your top three takeaways from today's show for people wanting to go and learn more about open social?
Sure. So I think that once you've gone and looked at the examples, you looked at the show and tell, you looked at the various videos, and you figured out that this is what you want to do and it makes sense for you to go this route. I think my best advice for you would be to not repeat past mistakes, right? So you want to ramp up your skills now. You want to dive beneath the X pages, right? You want to take a better look at core JavaScript. You want to take a better look at CSS, right, to control it yourself, because no matter what IBM tells you, you will need to learn these core skills. It will be very important to you. Another thing to take away from this as well is that start building APIs for your applications now, right? So start thinking about how I expose the functionality that this application provides as a set of APIs, right? So you don't want to go through the UI you've built now. You want to say, okay, so my application has a couple of services that it actually provides. It allows you to create this, that, and the other data type. You can delete stuff. You can view stuff. You can get feeds of stuff. Start building out those things now, because those are the feeds and those APIs you will be using once you transition to open social, right? So look at the spec, look at the underlying technologies, and start building APIs for your applications, because you will be embedding your applications throughout the various products, whether they be iNotes, Notes, or Connections. So take a look at those technologies.
Ryan, you have anything to add to that?
No, but I think Mikkel brought up a really good point, you know, about starting to expose your APIs via, you know, web APIs, because, you know, that's going to be the first thing you want to do. If you don't have APIs for your application that you're going to be able to leverage inside this open social gadget, then it's really important to start taking a look at that. And with if your applications are built on top of Domino, you know, we have these great new REST API framework that we've recently released, or it's been out there in the extension library for a while. But, you know, start taking a look at that, and that's one way if your app is built on Domino to start, you know, building out your API set.
Okay.
Or just use agents. Just use agents.
Sure.
Our entire solution for the social app throwdown relied on agents. Right. There's nothing to say that you have to use X pages. There's nothing to say you have to use the REST APIs. Just build your own, right? It's that simple using agents, but start building it out. You can reuse your old script libraries. You can reuse a lot of code, but you have to transition to not having your UI control the interaction, but having an API control the interaction.
Good. Very, very good points. In fact, at Lotusphere, I showed some screenshots of IdeaJam running in the embedded experience, such that when people get an email saying, hey, there's a new idea, instead of having to click on the URL, go to IdeaJam, log in, and then, you know, vote or comment in their activity stream, they would see a notification, and then right to the right, they have the ability to do everything that they would normally do the old way right inside the embedded experience. So it's very, 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 very cool stuff. Julian, any other questions for Ryan or Mikkel?
No, I think that's a pretty good intro, and really the next thing people need to do, if you're a developer and you want to see this stuff in action and start using it, is go to opensocial.org. Is that what it is? We will have the link in the podcast notes. And take a look at the, like Ryan was saying, the spec, and take a look at the sandbox and some of the examples. There's a really good Java API that you can use to start coding this stuff. And also keep in mind that this is going to be some part of Notes and Domino very, very soon as part of the Notes Domino Social Edition. This is something you should be able to use directly within your Notes Domino infrastructure just by writing some code.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, if people want to learn more about you or follow you on Twitter, where would they go?
Yes, so my Twitter handle is at Ryan J. Baxter, and my blog is ryanjbaxter.com.
Mikkel, how about yourself?
So I'm at Lekim, L-E-K-K-I-M, and my blog is lekimworld.com. And if you want to learn more about open social or ask questions of how this is, how all this will pan out and whether it's worth looking into, feel free to contact me. I'm very approachable, and I'll be more than happy to share my insights and experience doing this. So feel free to contact me.
And one last question, Ryan. Patriots or Giants?
Giants.
I'm going to have to say Patriots. I am a New Englander here, so yes, Patriots. Okay.
Do I hear a bet here, an open social bet between you two?
I'm also a Patriots fan.
Well, Mikkel loves the Sam Adams. So
yeah. Yeah, I love the Sam Adams. And frozen drinks. I'm actually all about drinks, actually.
Yeah, I know. We can hear the ice in the background as you stirred, as Bruce is trying to figure out how is he going to get that ice noise out of the background. All right.
Bruce, I think you can just add ice noises throughout the podcast.
I can, as well as sheep noises and all that right. Other kind of open social noises. So,
yes.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for enlightening the Taking Notes listeners about all things open social. It's a very approachable technology. I suggest you harass Ryan and Mikkel as much as you can if you have questions about it, because I have, that's it. So I'd like to thank both of you for your time today on episode 149, and we'll be back with episode 150 with a special mystery guest. Hopefully. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. Julian, anything else?
That's all, Bruce. I can't wait to see who the mystery guest is.
Yeah, me either. All right.
All right.
Ryan
Thanks
and
a lot, guys.
Mikkel, take care.
Thank you.
Bye.